Your destination will be on your left in half a mile.
Andrew, we are driving into Kingston, and I see above the trees on the left two red antennas sticking up. It's the lobster!
It's hidden by the trees as you come up.
It's mildly terrifying, actually. From here, it kind of looks like the bad lady in Aliens. It's Larry the Lobster, Andrew!
Larry, we've come so far!
Oh, my God. Larry, you have no idea what a big deal this is to us.
Your destination is on your left.
It certainly is.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Somehow it's better than I imagined. It's actually way bigger than I thought it was going to be, which is crazy considering its name is Big Lobster. Oh, my gosh. This is a very surreal moment for me, not just because I activated the windshield wipers instead of the turn signal, because I'm still learning how to drive in Australia, and everything's... Even the controls in the car are opposite. But this is so surreal to me, Andrew, because we are looking at Larry the freaking lobster right now.
I can't, like, driving this entire way from Adelaide down to here, the lobster, where we'll be spending the night, maybe literally below the lobster, has been so weird because I've been staring at these maps, my Google Maps of Australia and all of our little plot points for so long, and looking at all these pictures of this lobster on Google Maps, and like being here right now feels very surreal.
Yeah, it's just, I have been picturing this moment in my mind for, even before we actually got, you know, the go-ahead to come down here and got Qantas to fly us here for free, and before this was even actually a reality, I had kind of picturing it in my mind. By the way, there are people actively parking and getting out of their car to come take a picture with Larry or of Larry the lobster. This is exactly what we read about in the New York Times.
But I will say, if I can be a little Andrew here for a moment, let's get our car. We're parked kind of behind it right now. Let's get out of their shot.
You think we're ruining their lobster based photography?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I also need more practice in how to drive this car. I almost killed us like six times driving down here, including when I almost tried to get on literally the wrong lane of the kind of two-lane highway because of, you know, habit.
All right, this is great. I am so excited. So now we're going to head to the Lobster Hotel.
I believe it's a motel.
Or Lobster Motel, right, where we're going to check in, which should be one block from here, and then we'll come back and we'll take some photos. You're on the wrong side of the road, Luke.
Oh, my God. That was not even for effect. I just totally got on the... Okay, we'll edit this out because the listeners cannot handle this early in the trip. Look at, here we are, the Lobster Motor Inn.
Nice. All right, guys. Catch you on the... What would a lobster say?
The lobster would say you're on the wrong side of the road,
yeah.
Dude.
Oh, I'm a lobster.
TBTL.
Well, hello, good morning, and welcome to a Monday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
This is special. This is special.
Coming to you today from the Lobster Motor Inn in the shadow of Larry the Lobster in Kingston, SE, South Australia.
Australia is a wonderful island.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct.
That has been our experience so far. This is really happening, TBTL listeners. We have made it to stage one of this week of broadcasting. It is, of course, also the TBTL-a-thon.
Social engineering. What is it exactly, and how does it work?
Well, we remind you all that we can only... keep making this show with your donations, so you can go to tbtl.net right now and find out more about that. Of course, we'll be getting into that coming up. This is from the Lobster to Larima. That is the plan for this week, and it's going to be an adventure, and we are so excited to have you along with us. So
let the fun begin.
Here on episode 2909 in a collector series, we have so much to talk about, including the fact that I have realized... for this trip to be a success, we need to get our hands on a selfie stick.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. Why?
Well, because my new
favorite Australian TV personality, who I found out about on the airplane. He uses a selfie stick, and he's amazing. This is a little sample of his work.
You just gotta think like a lizard. You just gotta think like a bird. You just gotta think like a tree kangaroo.
Yeah, think like a lizard, think like a bird, think like a kangaroo. And all of those animals would use a selfie stick so as to enhance their trip. So I'm going to try to make the case to Andrew later why we need to get our hands on the selfie stick to really make this trip a success. Also, let's see, TB Chelathon mentioned that. Oh, speaking of exotic creatures, this guy's sitting right across from me. He is the seldom seen native to Australia wild. He's also straight gas homie and the longest running Cobro of the show. He is Andrew Walsh, and he joins me right now. My friend, welcome to the show. How are you feeling? How's Australia treating you?
I'm impressed that you thought to use the, of course, marsupial gurgle while we're here down under. Excuse me, I'm so emotional about this.
And by the way, don't think I forgot to bring my bell to Australia. And also, we got this little...
Nice.
We got all of our bells and whistles and weird sounds and a whole setup here in the room at the Lobster Motor Inn. Great work on that, Andrew. This is a pretty professional operation going here, other than the fact that I'm using an ironing board for my my microphone to rest atop. But that's a small quibble. This thing is pretty legit. Good job, man.
Yeah, the setup here, I had a very... I shouldn't even voice this. I shouldn't even say this, but I will. As you were doing the intro and I'm fading down the music and we're playing the tape and I'm thinking, this almost sounds too good. It almost sounds like tell we're on the road. I don't mean the content. I have some notes for your intro. I'll share those with
you in the
drive up.
I don't think there's ever any danger of this show sounding too professional to the listeners.
No, no, no. And again, I'm not talking about your part. I'm talking about my part as the engineer. Like,
sure.
I think I have so many notes for you.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I love setting up little road kits like this, and I think it sounds really good. The only downside is nobody's ever going to hear this because I'm learning that we have some pretty serious connectivity issues right off the bat, and we aren't even in the outback yet.
No, we're actually in the relatively populated part of this trip. Kingston is a town of about 1,400 or so. I will just start by saying rumors of Kingston's demise, I believe, have been greatly overstated. We found out about this town because we read an article in the New York Times, which basically framed it as such. There's a giant fiberglass lobster, Larry. See previous comments on this show. And the guy who owns Larry, and really the property that Larry's on, because Larry is on a piece of land as you come into town that also has like a restaurant built on it.
Mm-hmm.
A surprisingly nice looking restaurant.
But out of business right now, right?
Yes, because the guy that was running this whole lobster-based operation, he was hurting for cash, and so he wanted to sell the whole thing. And there was some discussion of the lobster being dismantled and moved somewhere else. And what we read was that if the lobster goes away, the town goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was out exploring this morning on my little eagle soar, and this is a beautiful, quaint village with beautiful, tidy homes and churches and little stores and restaurants. And this is a great place. I mean, to be honest with you, it's so much kind of more well put together than I was expecting. I thought this was going to just be a dusty bend in the road.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is to say, this is sort of high living for us in terms of connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not sure if this show is going to upload from this place. So don't even get into Tennant Creek with me. And here's the thing, Andrew. This is the important part. I need you to stay with me. Focus. Mm-hmm. And not because I could tell as we were getting ready to do the show, you were uploading some little videos we've already made and things. And I could tell that it is very much stressing you out, the question of if the show can get onto the internet. So try to put that out of your mind and make one of our typically unlistenable shows so that if it doesn't get to the internet, people won't actually be sad about it.
You know, one thing that I think I'm fine on that. Again, we have the benefit of time on our side. The fact that you and I tend to, well, I was going to be generous there, but let's just be honest. You tend to run late, so we as a podcast
tend to run late.
Is this
Australian Andy? Australian Andy is very direct.
If I didn't correct myself, you would have corrected me. There's a tendency to kind of know that, like, okay, we're kind of saying we'll start 9:30 for 10, right? And then we kind of will tend to push things back. But we got a lot going on. I'm not saying that it's a dig. But my point is that we are so far ahead of our listeners in the States time-wise.
It's literally Sunday where they are.
Exactly, which I cannot get my head around that. If we can't upload the show from here below Larry the Lobster tonight, or today, I should say, then we can drive back up, and like in 3 hours, we'll be driving basically through Adelaide again, where we flew into yesterday, and I'm sure we can find a better cell network or a Wi-Fi network up there. So that's really good. Speaking of the time difference, that was one thing yesterday that I couldn't quite get my head around is – I'm here. We arrived at this quaint little hotel, which maybe or motel. Maybe we can talk more about that later.
You know
it's
that
exactly
I don't
want to
be pedantic, but you know the difference between motel and hotel,
yeah,
right?
Motel,
we talked about it on the show. That's the only reason that I know about that. So I'm not trying to show off with that information. Because I corrected you on the intro tape.
Right. There's hotel, there's motel, there's Holiday Inn.
Say what?
Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. Anyway, so we check in yesterday. I want to talk more about this place, but you and I kind of, I mean, after a long day or days of travel on the, you know, the 14-hour flight plus the two flights on either side of it and then the three-hour drive. You're learning how to drive on the wrong side of the road, so to speak. It's about a three-and-a-half-hour drive from down here where I'm finally, like, I'm telling you in the car as we're getting closer, like, I need a shower so bad.
You started talking about showers like
in
Seattle, somewhere over the Pacific.
Yeah, I started to feel I like to have showers. And, you know, after being awake for a really long time, I just started to feel really greasy, really tired, really hungry. And I just couldn't wait for the moment where I could walk through this door.
If you're in a bad mood on this trip, I'm going to ask you, Andrew, are you greasy, tired, or hungry?
Right. You better have a portable shower to help solve one of those. But anyway, it was a wonderful moment. We unpack our bags. You're in the room right next door. And I take the shower that I've been looking forward to forever. I'm starting to relax. I know that we're going to go get a very early dinner in a little bit. I'm in a really, really good place. And then I go to call Genevieve on my WhatsApp app. And she doesn't pick up, and I text her. I'm like, hey, no big deal if you're busy, but just so you know. And I'm looking at the phone. I'm like, okay, it's about 10 o'clock p.m. on a Sunday, her time. That's probably a good downtime for her. She texts me back. She's like, I'm in the middle of my Saturday party. Like, she's having a party at our house. And I'm like, oh my God, I could not. When will I ever, by the time I remember that we're an entire day ahead, we will already be leaving this country, I think.
I was texting with Carrie today, actually, and I was like, oh, what do you have going on today? And
that's my wife.
She was like, oh, Jenny, our friend Jenny came up and brought her. She has a chocolate lab named Linus. And Linus and Rudy, we went to the off-leash hiking trail, and they were running around. And I was like, oh, cool, what are you doing the rest of the day? She's like, I don't know, we're just going to probably go get some lunch and hang out. And I was like, wow, well, pretty sweet life on a Monday.
Yeah, right.
Which, boy,
right,
sounds tough.
Yeah.
And then she was like, yeah, because it's Sunday.
Right.
Should I not come home? She was like, no, you live in Australia now. You live under a lobster.
This is by the way, quick thought. Don't you think they could turn Larry the Lobster into a giant Wi-Fi hotspot?
I mean, he's already shaped like it. Claws, his antennae or whatever those things are that come off the top of his head.
I can literally see him from the window right now, but I'm also, just for reference, I have the New York Times article, the original article, up in front of me right now, the article that you and I talked about at great length on this show. It was originally posted on August 30th, 2018, so we're getting close to a year since we talked about this. And the weird thing is, I know we've used the word surreal a lot already, and we're only like 15 minutes into the show, but seeing this photo in the New York Times of Larry the Lobster that I looked at so many times for reference in the past year, and knowing that that thing is just on the other side of that window right now is kind of blowing my mind.
I agree that they're really missing an opportunity to not turn him into some sort of Wi-Fi hot, like the biggest. I mean, maybe this could be an attraction. Kingston SE, home of the world's biggest Wi-Fi hotspot.
That's right.
The lobsters are so 2000 and late.
I know.
Let's get into Wi-Fi.
I know. It's practical. People will come get their pictures taken. Two pictures now, one with the lobster, one with the world's biggest hotspot.
You know what they also seem to love here in Kingston? I noticed this on my little jogabout this morning.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to call it the resurgence of the El Camino.
Oh.
But it's not an El Camino. What it is a version of a Ford Just imagine a Ford Taurus, like a 2004 Ford Taurus.
I am.
And then just imagine that the back half of it is a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
That I saw like four of those around here.
That sounds great.
That's a non-aesthetic thing.
Really?
Yes, it looks so bad.
Do you like El Caminos? I remember making fun of them growing up, but now you look at them and they're so cool.
I think I like Rancheros, which was I don't know who made the El Camino. Was that Ford?
I thought it was Chevy, but I don't
know. Okay, so maybe the Ranchero was Ford's answer to the El Camino, which is kind of funny if they did do that, to think that they were like, similar vehicle, also needs a Spanish name. They're going with El Camino. We're going to go with Ranchero. Uh-huh. We're going to try to confuse the issue as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And hundreds of years from now, guys will be doing a podcast from under a lobster, and we will be successful in having clouded that issue. Anyway, no, it's a... I'll tell you this, the things that I saw around here, and of course Australia is full of all kinds of weird and unique things. Mm.
Australia is a wonderful island.
As we've learned from Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, the Ranchero, or whatever this thing is, this weird Ford mod updated El Camino, it just looks like an animal that is endemic to Australia, like only lives on this island, and by the way, should never leave this island.
The Australian arrow? Is that what it's called?
Exactly. So they like that stuff around here. I'm trying to think what else. We got some. We got a little dinner last night from the local pub / casino / buffet / gathering spot / horse
/ hotel
/ hotel. The Crown.
Yes.
Which
it reminds
was kind
of
fun.
Me of what one thing I had been reading is that I think this is in that Bill Bryson book. He offhandedly mentions that like the lines between hotels / pubs is very thin. There are hotels where you can't sleep, and there are pubs where you can't eat. or I don't know if that's accurate, but it's all just kind of one and the same, it seems like.
I will say too that, all joking aside, and I'm listening back, that tape you played at the beginning of us when we first arrived at Larry, a couple of thoughts on that. I said the bad lady from Aliens. I mean the main alien. I assume a female, not to overly gender the alien, but because that it's laying eggs. But again, I guess we don't know that it's a female. And that in alien species, maybe the males lay the eggs.
Right. Or it's just, you know, they're all the same.
In alien solar system, eggs lay you. So anyway, I said I didn't mean Sigourney Weaver. I wanted people to know this is not an anti-Sigourney Weaver podcast.
No. Although you are going to start one, I understand.
Yeah, it's a spinoff.
Yeah. You don't want to spit all your anti-Sigourney Weaver vitriol here.
Keep
you want to save that.
Keep that powder dry.
Right, yeah.
But so listening back to the tape, that was one thing I wanted to clarify. The other thing was, I did not get into the wrong lane of traffic as we were pulling out from the lobster to try to be funny or make a point. Or generate that what will go, I'm sure, be sent directly to the Smithsonian as amazing podcasting footage. That was just because I legit forgot.
You were taking
in that
a
moment.
Left turn out of the driveway, out of the Larry's driveway, and you just instinctively pulled into the right lane of traffic.
It's so hardwired in me after 27 years, I think, or so, of driving on one side of the road. It's really been challenging, and I have had to – one of the listeners, I forget who it was, gave me the best piece of advice, which was just remember you need to be in the middle of the road. And I have found myself, just as we've been driving around Kingston and running and getting things and stuff, saying that to myself before I do any kind of complicated move. And by the way, everything is a complicated move for me right now. Like, I really didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. Like, what? You drive on the other side. I just thought you drive on the other side of the road. What I didn't account for was you're also in the other side of the car. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like two unusual things. And also, driving is so mindless. You know that feeling where you show up somewhere and you drove and you're like, I have no memory of the drive here. Did I stop at stoplights? Was I in a dream state? I believe that's the Aboriginal people of Australia. Their religion is called dream life.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. I'm like in a dream life usually when I'm driving. I'm just not even like thinking about anything.
Good to know.
And so much of it. Yeah, exactly. Welcome to your final week on planet Earth, Walsh. But anyway, what I realize is that stuff is just so ingrained, instinctive, hardwired into me now that trying to do something different is taking real concentration, and I am clearly not great at it yet.
That's why I think I mentioned this to you in the car yesterday. I would imagine, and I haven't driven yet, but I will, and I should, and I will, and I want to, because it's a I'm nervous about it, but it seems like a hell of an experience. But it seems like the real danger mode would be not when you're first doing it, and not when you've been doing it for a really long time, but the mode where you've been driving for maybe just a couple of hours and you're comfortable with it, and not every thought you have isn't consciously, don't forget, different side of the road, don't forget, not the windshield wipers, but the turn signal.
That one's really messing with me too.
I feel like the danger spot is when you're just comfortable enough with it that you aren't thinking about it too much, and then suddenly you're just kind of like what we saw yesterday. You had been driving about, what is it, 4 hours from Adelaide to here?
Something like that.
Yeah, and you know, mostly one long, kind of windy road. And then we're here and we're obsessing over this lobster, and your brain just went back to, I'm just normally driving, talking to my friend, normally below a giant lobster, like
sure.
You always do.
Obviously, on the other side of
right.
the world.
And then you just pull into traffic, and of course your brain was like, oh, this is the side of the road I belong on. But nope.
Hey, I want to take a moment and say thank you to our friends at Qantas for flying us here. That was actually, honestly, way shorter than I expected it to be in terms of the experience of flying from San Francisco to Sydney. The folks, Emily and Annabelle at Qantas, have been so nice to us in putting this together and making this possible, because this would have not been, I don't think this would have been in the budget for us to come here if we were going to have to pay for the flight. And they were like, yeah, you know, they go, it's actually quicker than people realize. They go, it's a meal, a sleep, and another meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're there. And dude, that was legit what happened for me. We got on. The flight crew is so nice. I don't know if this matters, but they're all Australian.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to meet a not nice Australian person yet.
Me too.
And the Qantas staff.
And I keep on pushing the limits.
I know
the way,
you really
that.
Do. It's really
in the air, on the ground. I am being as rude as possible.
Yeah.
I'm pushing buttons.
And none of them will take the bait. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And the Qantas staff, they were so nice. They brought us pajamas. They knew, I guess they knew we were on the flight because the Qantas folks had let them know.
Uh-huh.
And so they must have been kind of let down, honestly, when they were like, there's some big radio celebs on this flight. And then they came back to our row and they were like, these two? Mm-hmm. Me, passed out, blanket, eye mask on, hat, my Steve Zissou red knit cap, some what did I have in my system? Some kind of herbal sleeping thing, which I don't know if it really worked or not, but I know that
you
I
were
went
asleep
to sleep
for 6 hours on an airplane. That's what one thing I want to say. You keep on saying I took this herbal supplement. It didn't work, but I did sleep for 6 hours. And this is coming from a guy who has said many times, I can't sleep on airplanes. So is there a chance that it did work?
Yes, maybe. It was also the middle of the night, so I think my body was primed for it. But yeah, we had a meal. Went to sleep. I went to sleep. You became a professional gin rummy player.
Yeah, apparently. I think I said this on the show. It's harder and harder to find games you can play on your iPad-like devices that don't have to be connected to the internet. And I found a gin rummy game before we left. And I was like, I don't think this needs the internet. So I went up there, and I didn't even really know how to play gin rummy. I had some vague ideas. I got to say, I didn't sleep much. I think I might have dozed off for maybe 2 hours. But I was not. And also, the person in front of me didn't recline her seat back most of the way. At one point,
she was Australian.
When she finally went to sleep in the middle of the night, she reclined it all the way. And still, it didn't make me uncomfortable. There was enough leg room. And then, she was also just conscientious. If she wasn't sleeping, she was putting it back up, which is just a personal thing I like.
Classic Aussie move.
Yeah, but I got to say, I didn't even sleep, and it still went by really quickly to me, and I learned how to play gin rummy, and I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, you seem like you were getting the hang of it over there.
Yeah,
I had a great time. Got up, they gave us some breakfast, and then it was time to land, and we did, and I legit felt, Carrie asked me when we landed, how was the trip, and how was I feeling, and I was like, I told you this as we were kind of emerging from over the Pacific Ocean, I guess, or whatever ocean we were on at that point, to over Sydney. I was like, I had forgotten that as a kid, I always dreamed of going to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I just was obsessed with Australia as sort of an idea and a place. And I had forgotten about that until that moment. And I was like, I told Carrie, I was like, I was 8-year-old excited as we were landing. Like not 43-year-old jaded Luke Burbank excited. I was like, oh my God, this is happening. We are in Australia. This is incredible. So anyway, big thanks to Qantas for sponsoring this trip and for getting us here. And if you're going to try to go from the U.S. to Australia, you have really only one choice, and that is Qantas. And you might technically have other choices, but I wouldn't trust any of them.
Not by our book.
No, it's a Qantas. I was trying to come up with a catchphrase for them.
Yeah, that's true. They probably need one from us.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Maybe in an Australian accent.
Yeah,
by the way, I think that my Australian accent is getting better. I don't want to roll it out here, but I will tell you. Every single Australian sounding thing we drove past on the way down here, I just said to you, like,
you got especially excited if it had bong in the title.
I really did.
And not in a dumb 420 kind of way.
It just felt extremely Australian to me. But you know that I'm a ladies bong from Fiji. That's not the accent, by the way. Don't get it twisted. You'll know when I'm doing the accent because you'll be like, whoa, are they having an Australian person on the show right now? They'd be like, no, that's just Luke's accent. All right. Hey, let's do some top stories.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Of course, the big top story is that it is the TBTL-a-thon. TBTL-a-thon 10, from the Lobster to Larima. We actually kicked things off on Friday. Our friend Phyllis Fletcher stopped by, who then drove us to the airport.
Yeah.
God bless her. And Phyllis talked a little bit about the kind of why TBTL works for her and why it's so important to her. I was thinking about that on the whole flight over here, and I was talking to you about it, Andrew, how it was just like, I thought Phyllis really kind of described an experience of, like, she was talking about the TBTL stuff, like the stuff you're getting if you donate to the thon. And by the way, if you go to TBTL.net, all this stuff is there. You can see the different levels and what you can donate and what you'll get for that. But Phyllis was talking about, like, kind of almost like being a kid and sometimes not being in the cool club or not having the t-shirt from the fun thing. And like now if you're a TBTL listener and if you're able to donate during the TBTL-a-thon, you get that t-shirt or the bobbleheads or these pins that that we had specially made basically commemorating this trip. And it really kind of moved me. It was really powerful just to think that through luck, I don't think we can really take much of the credit for it, Andrew. It's just this weird thing that sprung up. But through some kind of weird luck, this is a community that makes people feel like they're part of something. And sometimes it's people who maybe didn't feel like they were part of a lot of things. And that's like so cool that we get to be part of that. And that somehow that thing has led us all the way here to this Motor Inn in the shadow of this Lobster. It's kind of incredible. It still blows my mind 2,909 episodes into this thing.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this trip because, well, I'm on this trip and I've had a lot of time to think.
Yeah, and you're pretty, and let's be honest, you're pretty self-centered.
And I've been thinking a little bit in an Australian accent, but mostly in my own voice. When I first started working with you, Luke, and it wasn't even on TBTL, of course, it was on that Cairo show, Ross and Burbank, but, you know, I knew about TBTL. I think I'd, you know, whatever, been on TBTL maybe at that point before, but this is the first time we were officially working together. I remember you and I went and we had lunch and a couple of beers or something. Well, that makes it sound like we'd have beers with lunch, which is not something that you and I would do, but let's just say we were having lunch and beers together.
Here's what we're trying to say. If you donate to the TBTL-a-thon, we're not going to spend it on lunch beers.
You're right.
Okay.
Anymore.
Your money is safe. We don't even get to see the money, which is, believe me, better. Because we
true,
probably
yeah.
would spend it on lunch beers.
At this point, we were spending Ross and Burbank money on lunch
yes.
beers. No, but I do remember sitting in at the Azteca across the street from Cairo Radio with you.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. And being excited to work with you because I was such a fan of TBTL and, of course, knowing that the Azteca loomed large in there. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But we were talking. I remember, you know, we were both very excited to be working together. And I remember you said, you know, the important thing to kind of remember is to not just keep on putting together show sheets where it's just me and Dave just talking about things. We got to like try to be active. We got to try to do things, bring action into the studio or bring us out of the studio and find things to do. Otherwise, you can kind of just get in a rut. And I was thinking about that in terms of this Australia trip. I feel like we're bringing the listeners along with us. I hope they feel the same way. I feel like one
I hope
thing,
they hear this.
I hope, they
hope we can get
this.
The show on the internet.
I feel like being a part of APM has allowed us to do so much more as far as bringing the listeners along on stuff and being active, not just sitting, you know, in our respective studios talking at each other all the time or with each other all the time. And it's really, really special that we get to do stuff like this. And I think, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I think the listeners do feel like we're taking them along. I feel like they're here with us. I really do. I mean that sincerely. And we would not be able to do this kind of stuff without the setup we currently have with American Public Media. I think that we're really lucky, but I really truly think the show is better for it, and we're working on some new things that we're going to be rolling out also hopefully this year. And all of that has to do with the fact that we're able to be part of APM, and the reason we're able to be part of APM is because you guys have donated and told APM that we're valuable to you guys.
Yeah, it's this kind of surprising sort of virtuous cycle and symbiotic relationship, which is I think things have gotten so much better for the show since we got with APM. You're able to work on it full time. It means so many things. One, the show is actually something that gets on the internet on a regular basis. When I was in charge of it, it was hit and miss. When you donate to TBTL and you get these bobbleheads or this t-shirt or these pins or any of the other things, they actually show up at your house. Another thing, maybe this is the proper sound effect for that. Another thing that when I was running things, I was not super great at. Things have just improved greatly for the show being part of APM. But APM, God bless them. They would have been forcing totally different people to do cybersecurity training, i.e. would not have hired us if not for the tens of listeners, because we were able to go to APM back in the olden days and say, hi, we're a weird show that's just two guys talking to each other. And I know that there's no reason you should think this is a good thing, but look at all of these people who donate to this show every year. And they will donate that money to you, and then you can use it to pay us and to pay for other things. And APM was like, okay, like we would not be here in Australia, we would not be doing this show without APM, but we would not be at APM without the people hearing my voice right now who have been donating for years. And maybe there's a couple folks out there who have not donated before, and they've just been like, this isn't the right time for me. And that's totally okay, by the way. I want to make sure that people understand that you are part of the TBTL community, whether or not you're donating money to us. Mm-hmm. That is not the bar for being part of the community.
We just like you more if you donate.
Just a little bit more. Just a tiny, like, just saying, 5% more likely to return your emails. But but if maybe you've been kind of like listening to the show and your financial situation hasn't really like been one where you felt like you could donate a few bucks every month, that's totally fine, by the way. But maybe things have changed a little bit and you're ready to like, you know, go ahead and be part of the show. I mean, really, like, this thing is the people that have been donating for years understand this, I think, but it's like this is just like a community project. Like, without the TBTL listeners, without the people donating, this thing just goes away. And everyone is like, you know, you guys own stock in this thing. Like, and unlike, like, you could take your money out of Apple, and Apple's just going to continue on. If you take your money out of TBTL, TBTL's going to really legit stop. Mm-hmm. So you can feel a real pride of ownership or an embarrassment of ownership. That's an option we also...
The shame of ownership.
TBTL, the shame of ownership. Possible show title. Show title TBTL. And lifestyle?
TBTL of 10, the shame of ownership.
Anyway, so that's all. That's the spiel. Thank you so much. I know folks are already donating, and we saw those coming in over the weekend. Thank you. And Andrew, I know that there were still just, you know, a couple of little, as there always are, there was a couple of little things with the donation page that needed to be tweaked and changed, and we're you know, updating that. Some people reached out and said, like, oh, there was a couple things that they weren't able to see when they went to the website. We're getting that all worked out. But yeah, go to tbtl.net right now if you have a moment, and donate if you haven't been donating. If you have been donating, thank you so much. You can keep that rolling, and you're going to get an email, I guess, that will let you know how to get your stuff.
Yeah, so it's important that you get your stuff, because we talked about it a lot on Friday's show, but just to quickly reiterate here, and Luke, you alluded to it, we're really, really excited about all of our gifts this year. We worked on them for a long time with special artists for each one. We have these cool enamel pins representing our trip out here, Australia-related stuff, TBTL-a-thon-related branded stuff. This really, really cool T-shirt that looks like a concert T-shirt because for our quote unquote Australia tour, and then these two bobbleheads that were created based on this silly photo mashup, this Photoshop mashup that they said it couldn't be done, but we found a way to make it happen. And all of these things are, we're so jazzed about them. And so if you're a recurring donor, somebody who's given in the past, and you know your membership is going to automatically renew, you need to keep an eye out for these emails we're sending out, because in order to get your gifts, you need to click on a special link. And if you haven't given before, just go to tbtl.net, click that link. You can look at all of these thank you gifts or the mock-ups of the bobbleheads. The mock-ups themselves,
oh my God,
to me, are priceless.
I know it's so self-aggrandizing because it's us,
mm-hmm.
but like I've never seen myself or you rendered in that fashion, like a drawing of us that looks like us. It's so amazing. Big thanks to our friend Kat Solin, who's a TBTL listener. And then I actually don't know if I know the name of the artist who did the drawing.
Oh, I know his name is Noah. Let
well,
me get
thank
his last
you to Noah
here.
So much. But like, I want this is so. I know this is so like. How can I put this? This is so self-aggrandizing, but I want like a poster of the drawing of you and me.
I know, it's
because it's
so
like
cool.
art unto itself. Although the other day when we had Ken Jennings on the show, he was watching via video link me in my house, and in the studio, in the broadcast center, I have this poster when you and I did the show at the Neptune. I guess that would be the 2000th episode, maybe?
Or yes, it was. It definitely was the photo of you and I in the boat.
In the boat.
Right.
And like, I was so jazzed that poster was made that I had it framed and it's in my office because I was like, this is cool and exciting. And Ken was like, wow, that's a real power move.
Yeah.
You got right. a poster of yourself behind you. I was like, ouch.
Kind of looming over us via
and
Skype.
And so, but I need to kick my power move to another level. I think I'm going to try to get some kind of a, you know, printout of those. Point being, yeah. even the art for the bobbleheads is amazing.
We're really jazzed about it. Like I said, by the way, the artist's name is Noah Farr, P-F-A-R-R, who did the bobblehead mock-ups for us. You can check him out at noahillustration.com after you go to tbtl.net.
Yeah, start
and again,
there.
Check it out there.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm just thinking, Andrew, I have the concert tee on the mind. I'm uh-huh. thinking, like, because the back of it, it's all the places we are. So here we are. We're at step one. We're at stage one of the concert.
Yep.
So can I just say, like, thank you, Kingston!
Southeast. Not the other Kingston that most people think of when they think of Kingston, Australia.
They did change the name to SE, I guess, to clarify.
Yeah, there's another Kingston, which is
Other Kingston. Boo!
Where's your lobster?
What do you have, like a regular-sized lobster? But also, how's your Wi-Fi? Because we might need to come there to upload the show,
and
Other
also,
Kingston.
If you're a listener there, we still love you. Please donate. Go to tbtl.net.
Absolutely.
Click on the donate button. The bobbleheads. We should be in a band, man.
God, this is a hell of a tour already. This wouldn't just be sound effects that I'm playing, Andrew. This would be real applause if
uh-huh.
we had a selfie stick.
And uh-huh.
Because that's the
yeah,
that's,
you got a real bee in your bonnet about this.
I do, because
you have a lobster in your
on in my diaper.
Yeah, you have a real
you got a real lobster in your diaper, buddy. I on the flight from Sydney to Adelaide, I couldn't get over, by the way, the fact that there's a whole city that has my daughter's name.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to me to just look around and see her name represented in so many places. I know that the city had the name first, but it was pretty exciting. Plus, there was a sign in the bathroom that just in the airport.
Oh, yeah, right?
That, I don't know why they wrote it this way, but it was something that had
it basically said, don't drink water out of the toilet.
Adelaide.
You know, like, yeah, right?
Right. And that was the thing. It said Adelaide. And then the next line, airport uses recycled water for toilet flushing. Do not drink.
Which I pointed that out to you, and I said, well, that raises a lot of questions. And I said, no, it just raises one question. Who are they warning not to drink the toilet water? Who's drinking the toilet water?
Well, it looks like Adelaide. It looks like they're warning my daughter.
I guess so. You should put a comma. Do you have a Sharpie?
I was so tempted to deface the sign, Andrew, but then I literally had the thought, I'm going to take a picture and ask Andrew later if he can Photoshop a comma in.
I probably can.
Because it really changes the nature of that message. Anyway, when we were on the flight from Sydney to Adelaide, there was an in-flight entertainment. I don't know if you had a chance to watch, but I saw my new favorite, maybe not just Australian, but television host across the whole world, across the whole globe. He is a guy named Chris Humphrey, mm-hmm. and he hosts a show called Chris Humphrey's Animal Instincts! Where as I didn't have the sound up, by the way. This is all just visual. From what I can tell, he just has a bunch of animals living in his house, and they just go to the bathroom everywhere. And he's constantly making
out with
them.
Well, that is what their instincts tell him to do.
Yes, they've got the animal instinct part down.
Yeah.
And he's just constantly kissing them. Like, not in a sexual way, I hope, but he is, like, every manner of animal he has living in his house, he will feed it, he will take care of it, and then at some point he will give it a kiss.
Uh-huh.
And it's adorable and slightly weird. But anyway, here's the thing. He films tons of it on his phone with a selfie stick. Anyway, I just want to play. Can I play you his sizzle
please.
Reel? This is off of the internet. This is my new favorite TV host.
Every animal's instinct is to survive. But for some species, survival is becoming more difficult.
He's talking about podcasters, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much competition now for the resources.
Humanity is on a collision course to destruction. Human beings are consuming and destroying precious resources at an unsustainable rate.
I'll mention also, this is not Chris Humphrey, Animal Instincts, talking.
Okay.
This is
I assumed it
guy.
Was.
No,
oh,
this
okay.
is a different guy talking
okay.
about Chris
oh,
Humphrey,
okay. Okay.
Animal Instincts! Exclamation point.
People need to change their ways now before it's too late. One man can't move a mountain. But if we all work together, 7 billion people can. But it all starts with the actions of this man.
I want to share with you my passion for nature and animals. How can we save something if we don't love and understand it?
That's him kissing an animal! He's kissing like an ostrich or something in that thing. You heard it, right? You heard him kissing
an
animal.
I heard the moi.
What about kissing an elephant? I'd kiss an elephant.
Australian zoologist Chris Humphrey, the man with the animal instinct.
You just got to think like a lizard. You just got to think like a bird. You just got to think like a tree kangaroo.
Chris shares his life with some of the most adorable animals, as well as some of the deadliest. You'll fall in love with this eccentric Aussie and his wildlife family. He invites them into his home to live. All 2,000 of them.
Oh, come on. I just cleaned this carpet.
You may just think...
There's literally a clip of a friggin' koala, like, peeing on his rug.
How are you a man who has 2,000 animals in your house and you're still getting frustrated when one of them pees on your carpet? Oh, I just cleaned this carpet. Like... Maybe you should get rid of the carpets.
You know what? His furniture's white leather, too. You think
Seriously?
I'm kidding. But actually, it works.
You think that he wouldn't use leather?
No, because he's... Oh, yeah. Maybe it's white pleather, but it looks leatherish. But he's constantly cleaning poop off of it and pee.
Oh,
but it cleans
God.
Off pretty good. He has tons of paper towels around. I'm telling you, Andrew, watching this show muted on the plane changed my life.
Think he's a little crazy.
And this is great, by the way. And this is... You will be hearing this, by the way, coming back as intro tape for Andrew at some point.
Oh, no.
Come on. I've just cleaned his carpet.
You may just think he's a little crazy. And yep, you're right.
quick. If you do this and you sneak up next to an animal, it doesn't see you as a predator.
Super fit and with hair like a cockatoo.
Yeah. Yes! That! I want that intro.
Bonus.
For me.
Bonus. They show him doing a push-up on a cliff. And, like, on the rocks, he's wearing a black T-shirt, he's doing a push-up on the rocks, and they mention that he's super fit and that he has hair like a cockatoo, which is true.
Do they then show a cockatoo, or does he have a cockatoo
yes.
on his back while
no,
he's doing push-ups?
Or maybe it's a cockatiel. I don't know. He's next to a bird that has kind of the same hair. He has blonde hair. It's super thick. I'm very jealous. It's kind of like – he looks like he could be in a K-pop boy band.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine everything you've heard and the guy's super fit with hair like a cockatoo.
Quick. If you do this and you sneak up next to an animal, it doesn't see you as a predator.
Super fit and with hair like
I don't know
a
what
cockatoo,
he's talking about, but I don't buy it.
This 100% action man is an adrenaline junkie who is passionate about conservation and protecting all things wild.
So this snake here does a fantastic job, so don't kill them.
Chris lives and breathes wildlife 24/7.
This is massive.
There's nothing this Aussie won't do and nowhere he won't go on a quest to study and learn about animals.
Yeah, imagine eating your mum's poo, hey?
Imagine eating your mom's poo, and he's
no,
holding
thank you.
He's holding some kind of brown thing in his hand, and then he starts eating it, Andrew. Am I losing you?
Well,
am I losing the argument that we need a selfie stick?
I just keep on going back to that clip of him saying, you might think he's a little off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Lead us all to save the planet.
Chris Humphrey, Animal Instincts, exclamation point. That's not the accent.
Is it Chris Humphreys?
It's Chris Humphrey.
Colon.
But no, it's okay. Chris Humphrey. His name is Humphrey. Uh-huh. But the show is Chris Humphrey's possessive. Chris Humphrey's apostrophe S. Chris Humphrey's Animal Instincts.
I like that.
Exclamation point.
See, I like it that way because it has two meanings, right?
Yes.
It's like he has his own Animal Instincts, yes, and his show, Animal Instincts.
I promise you, one of the things he was doing, he had a baby kangaroo in his lap. It was lying back, and he was, I think, wiping its privates with a paper towel for like five solid minutes.
Oh my God,
it was totally
shave.
He was being very gentle, but I think, I don't know what the, again, I didn't have the sound on, but he was, and it, I want to stress, this appeared to be non-sexual, but he was just like, it was such a weird thing because he's literally doing the show in his house, mostly on his cell phone with a selfie stick. Like, I don't know if, like, who approved this show, but he also just has all this stuff around, like paper. He'll have a big roll of paper towels, and he'll just be breaking paper towels off and like wiping animals down with paper towels.
Sounds like me and my dad. Like, I'm trying to back off my paper towel usage a little bit, but growing up, like, my dad practically had a tool belt with a paper towel dispenser on it. He's just like whipping them out all the time.
I know, but it's like not the kind of thing that you would ever see on a nature show.
Right, yeah.
Like, the presence of lots of paper towels.
Right, it doesn't seem...
Because he's just always cleaning up after the animals that are crapping on his stuff. Anyway, I'm so into this show, and I really hope that it ends up being broadcast in the U.S. because I can't find many episodes online. But watching him walk around and film himself and his animals and his paper towels using his selfie stick, I was like, we got to get one of those, Andrew, because we're making videos while we're down here. Mm-hmm. We're trying to take pictures, trying to photo document this. There's a bunch of stuff where having that thing would actually really make the product better, even though I think you and I are both kind of we're not the sort of folks who would normally want to ever purchase a selfie stick, but I think it would really help us here. Now, the other problem with this is that the only place where I thought we would maybe find one was Adelaide, and we've already departed from Adelaide.
Right, although we may be going back there to post a show later. We'll see.
Yeah. Like, I mean, is that the kind of thing that you think they'll sell in a dusty roadside pub / inn / casino /
Well, first of all, I feel like they wouldn't call it a selfie stick here. And also, it probably would be different. Right?
They'd call it a binga bongaroo.
Right, exactly.
That's not the accent, by the way.
No.
Well, you'll know when I'm doing the accent.
It would be a didgeripop. And so you can pop a photo of yourself and, like, probably not a didgeripop.
It would be a didgeridoo with, like, the, right. Just like it would be the cell phone would be lashed to the end of the,
right,
of the
yes.
didge. With,
exactly.
Like, I don't know what, some kind of fibrous material pulled
right.
from the earth.
I feel like it would be very rustic in that way. It would have a different name. And also, I mean, this goes back to what I was saying about me. See, this is day two now.
Yeah, how are you feeling
three.
About your whole outfit situation?
I'm still wearing
situation.
My same shirt. And I told you, I'm going to be wearing this in the car every day because a big part of this trip is I don't care too much about, other than being, you know, polite and respectful to the people that we run into, I don't really care how I come off. Like, I don't care about being nerdy or dirty. Ooh. I need a third, though.
Yeah. Flirty.
I don't care about being nerdy, dirty, or flirty on this here road trip across the continent, because we're here to do a job. And again, we don't have to, like, kind of do a live show or anything. So all of that for me is also not letting myself feel embarrassed. Like, honestly, nothing sounds worse to me than going on the Walk of Fame in LA and with a selfie stick and taking photos of me and my friends. Like, that's mm-hmm. where I first saw selfie sticks when I was living in LA, and I was like, I could never do that. Being on in front of Larry the Lobster, a roadside attraction in Kingston, SE, Australia, with a selfie stick, make fun of me for what?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm here for. This is fine.
Yeah.
How did you feel? Actually, this kind of comes to something. And
this
I wonder,
a decent Stallone, by
thank
the way.
You.
Decent.
Yeah, no, I really didn't go for it, and that's
the key.
That's why
they
worked.
Say the key is not committing.
you practice, and then you don't do it. Let's talk about last night a little bit. So we arrived here again, a little bit discombobulated. I was with the especially because I didn't sleep too much.
I was
on the plane.
Impressed that you. Yeah. I thought you were going to sit down on this couch in your room and like just go to sleep and never wake up, because we said we're gonna meet up in an hour, and a little more than an hour had gone by, and I just figured you were done.
No, I came back here. I kind of I love coming to a hotel room, kind of like kind of setting up my space a little bit and taking. And these are very, very humble abodes here. I love this little hotel. Yes. I wish it was hotter. I wish it was summertime, because you could really see, like, there's a little tiny pool outside, but there's like literally at night, there's no light in this room except for that tiny little light in the hallway. Do you have a ceiling light in your room?
Not to brag, but I do. I believe I have a ceiling light.
This place is totally pitch black. I have to turn on a computer or a TV in order to have a light in here.
You don't have a light in your room.
Yeah, because after last night, after we went to this little pub where we got some pizzas, we brought them back to your place. And I came back here and I was like, wait, I think Luke's room had a light. Anyway, I came back here, and again, these are very humble little rooms, literally no amenities. There's like one TV. I have no lights, sketchy Wi-Fi, a small little shower stall with some pretty old hardware on it. Yet it was like the hottest, best shower I feel like I've ever taken, because I needed one so bad. And then I set up all of this recording equipment because I wanted to see if everything was going to work okay. And it just felt really good. And then I was really looking forward to going to get dinner. Now, I didn't realize this whole time that it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. It felt so late to me. And also the storm was coming, so it was a little bit darker outside. By the way, some really major storms rolling in. I was watching the news today too, and like last night, I mean, it's funny, this rain will come in, it is torrential. It is like a tropical storm that rolls in for like 5 minutes and then blows out again.
And last night when we were in the the Crown?
Yeah, the Crown Hotel.
By the way, when we got there, we were like, are you serving dinner in this room? And they were like, yeah, the kitchen doesn't open for like an hour or something.
An hour and a half. We got there at 4 o'clock. And I didn't even realize what a ridiculous question that was. Like, can we have dinner? She's like, well, we'll start serving it at 5:30.
So then the just tropical storm blew through, and I was trying to be cool and fit in with the locals.
Yeah,
I
didn't I
didn't
want to
be hassled.
Yeah,
because I'm a local, although I don't have the T-shirt to prove it. And so I was kind of thinking, like, I don't know if I want to go look at the rain, because maybe this happens every day. But then all of these like kind of crusty Aussies, like, you know, dudes that were there, they got up and were looking out the window and they were like marveling. And then I was like, okay, this is an event to them.
Yeah, right.
Now we're allowed to go marvel at the rain as well.
Well, I guess that kind of answers my question, because I was going to say to you, I think there's a time, like, since we've even known each other, that you and I would go. I liked the vibe of that little pub. It was a little bit too bright, but aside from that, like, I liked the vibe of it. You can tell we got there pretty early. There's a bunch of locals there who clearly, you know, it's a Sunday to them. They're drinking at 3 o'clock on a Sunday, and no shame. I've certainly been there at my local pub myself, too. But, you know, one of them has the traditional Australian hat on, your Crocodile Dundee hat. They all look a little bit, like, you know, a little rough around
the
edges.
A little weathered.
But, like, not even once, I think, did I think about, like, well, how am I presenting to them? Like, I think there would be a time where I'd walk into a bar like that and it would be very forefront in my mind. Like, kind of like, I don't want to look like an outsider. I don't want to look like a dork. I want to look a little hardened. I want to look like I can hang. I would probably be trying to do subtle things that made it seem like.
Do you remember this? I had, and I'm sure talked about it on the show, I had a drinking strategy for being in a bar like that, which was shot in a beer.
Right.
Shot to let everybody know that, like, I'm a man's man.
Right.
And I obviously don't want to feel my feelings.
Actually, I take that back. There was one moment where I felt super, super self-conscious.
When I was trying to order a non-alcoholic drink?
A Shirley Temple? No.
No, but
he asked me if you want a beer, and I was like, yeah. And then it occurred to me, like, usually if I'm in a bar like that in the States and I'm drinking something from the tap, I would say, oh, whatever IPA you like. And then I wasn't even sure, like, IPA is kind of a trendy thing in the States. I was like, do they even do IPAs here? Or is that like kind of like, you know, am I coming off as like kind of an out of sync, like kind of Portlander coming down, like, what kind of craft beer do you have here in Kingston Southeast? And so they served me some sort of local thing that was not an IPA, and it was great. But there was one moment where my brain locked up. I was like, I had the word IPA halfway out of my mouth, and I was like, oh, I don't want to come off like this. No offense to Portlanders.
I honestly have to come up with what my, like, non-alcoholic drink is going to be.
Yeah.
Because I kind of didn't know what to do, because I was like, I'll have, like, there's got to be an Australian O'Doul's. There's probably people in Australia that don't drink anymore, right? So I was kind of like, do you guys have anything non-alcoholic? And he was just like, We just have soda. That's not the accent. You'll know when I'm doing the accent. And I was like, okay, I'll just take a Coke. But really, I wanted a Diet Coke, but I thought Coke sounded more manly.
Oh, so you heard you do that,
too. I was like, I'll just take a Coke. And then he was like, and I was like, actually, a Diet Coke.
Hey, can we talk about one thing here really quickly? Not to be super serious, but the listeners might be wondering about this, too. Because, you know, there's not a lot to do in this town. They said we have an hour and a half before we're serving dinner. And you're like, well, do you want to hang around? And like, I can easily hang out in a bar and drink beer for an hour and a half. I consider it one of the things I'm best at, as a matter of fact. But, like, you quit drinking, and not all that long ago, and this is the type of bar I think that, like, a year ago, if you and I were on this road trip, we'd be like, great, let's line up some shots, like, let's do this right, right? And so I felt a little bit bad, like, you don't want to hang out in this bar just watching me drink beers while you're sipping Diet Cokes, or not even Diet Cokes.
I switched over to Club Soda and Bitters. I got a little wild.
Right, no, you did. I didn't know Bitters had alcohol in them. At one point, you're like, you know there's alcohol in Bitters.
I know.
Devilish look in your eyes. Then you took off your shirt and started swinging over your head.
I had a lot of bitters. No, but you know what that is? To answer your question, for whatever reason, it doesn't bug me or make me like jealous or like, oh, I wish I could be having a drink. It's odd because my experience of not drinking is that most of the stuff I like to do, I still like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I thought I liked being in those bars because I like being super ham-boned. But it was like, no, I just like the vibe.
That's good.
And it doesn't feel that different to me. And then like, you know, the next day, not that you had like a beer or two. So it wasn't like you were drinking excessively at all. But like, you're right. Old times, we're lining up the shots. I'm probably making you drink more than you really want to or need to.
I don't think that's true.
Well, anyway, this would have.
I like the cover.
It probably would have gone differently. And this morning, we probably would have been feeling. I went to bed. We both went to bed at like 8:30.
No, I went to bed at 7:30, didn't I?
I
think it was still the 7 o'clock hour when I went to
bed. I think I might have stayed up an extra minute or two watching.
Yeah.
There's an Australian reality TV about people having passport issues.
That's
which,
right.
It's like Australians who have gone somewhere like Thailand and then they can't get back because they like one guy got basically scammed out of his passport at a scooter rental in Phuket. It's a whole show about passport issues. I was like, this is really for me. Anyway, I stayed up a little bit longer than you. I went to bed at 8:30. I know because I have this little thing on my bedtime on my phone. I sent it to Carrie. I slept 9.5 solid hours. I went to bed at 8:30. Got up at, well, I don't know how it could be 9. Oh, yeah. So I went to bed at 8:30. I got up at 6 a.m. And
That can't be right because I went to bed at 7:30 and I woke up at 4:30. I couldn't. That was my one thing is I hadn't slept in so long. I thought I'd sleep for 12 hours. But I went. I don't know how I'm doing the math on this, but I went to bed at 7:30 last night and then I woke up like almost on 4:30 on the dot. So maybe I'm just doing my math wrong on that. How many hours is that? But
I assume you felt pretty rested though, right?
I felt great. I wanted to like kind of sleep some more. I didn't want to get up at 4:30 this morning, but you know what else was weird? Like, so I'm hoping the jet lag that I can just get over it with by kind of, I stayed up. I went to bed super early last night, but it was evening. And then I woke up pretty early today, but it's still morning.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't middle of the night, middle of the day stuff. But I woke up, you and I at this pub, we didn't eat at the pub. We got a couple of pizzas to take out. Like I mentioned before, I really like mine. I woke up at 4:30. Keep in mind, the last thing I did before I went to bed was eat like 3 pieces of pizza, a piece of this cheesy bread stuff that was pretty good.
Which was good, dude.
Spicy. It had vegetables on it?
It had Italian dressing on it.
Oh, is that what it was?
Like, it had basically, like, just think of...
Didn't it have chunks of stuff, or am I just misremembering it?
Maybe
just heavy spices in the Italian dressing. Yeah. Anyway, last thing I do before I go to bed is I chow all that stuff down. I drink a half a bottle of Sprite. I go immediately to bed. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. All I can think about is that pizza in the refrigerator that's left over. So I wake up at 4:30, I take a shower, I wait until 6 in the morning, the respectable time, to drink the rest of my Sprite and eat the rest of my pizza, and I just got to work behind my computer and just started eating that stuff. I don't know how I got on that, but yeah, that pizza was good, though.
Yeah, so just to re-answer your question, it's in the words of, I forget her name, but it does not bother me. It does not bother me when we do that, and it's kind of fun. And then I like that I feel... good and rested and ready for the day the next morning because, you know, these trips, I was thinking about this on my jog this morning because, you know, this is the first time we've been on one of these where I wasn't drinking and the jogs were my eagle soaring. Part of it was because I think it's a fun thing. And by the way, I'm going to put a bunch of pictures up on the Slack channel.
Oh, cool.
That's going to be the land of eagle soaring. People are already putting stuff up. You know, this is kind of a tradition where we have a kind of virtual running club or walking club or cycling club or whatever it is you're doing. whatever your kind of your body allows you to do, jump in there. It's the Slack channel. It's hashtag Eagle Soar, and it's S-O-R-E.
And to get on the Slack, if you're somebody who has not yet joined us on Slack, and you need a special in kind of like digital invite to get in, but you will find that on the tbtl.net homepage. You'll see a big thing that says Connect with Us, and you can just click on Slack, and that's how you get in.
Yeah, and I was this morning on the jog, I was thinking how last year many of those jogs were like just so I could try to sweat out alcohol. And also because of it's a fun thing with the listeners, but they weren't very physically enjoyable for me because I didn't feel good. And it would just be a thing where I had kind of mind over mattered it. And I was like, this is a thing I need to do to try to justify all the alcohol I took in last night and also to get it out of my system so I can actually be semi-productive today. And this morning I was just running around and I was listening to my Dandy Warhols for some reason. And I'm just like, there's a crazy beach here, not to the jetty, which is the kind of like little part in town, but if you go out of town a little bit. And I'm just jogging and it's like and the sun was rising and I was like seriously feeling emotional. Like, I can't believe I'm in Australia. I've always wanted to come here. I can't believe that I'm watching the sunrise I don't even know what ocean it is. Is it the like Tasman Sea or something?
Is it the Bight?
It might be the Bight. Like, I'm just looking out over the sun's rising. I'm looking out over the ocean in Australia. I'm running. I'm listening to music I love. And I feel great. And I was just like, I honestly feel like I'm going to get emotional talking about it. It was such a nice morning. And so all of that is to say, I don't miss not having 9,000 shots last night. You know
what the most amazing thing about that story is? If I can turn it back on me for a second. While you were having that wonderful, healthy adventure, I was literally sitting here in the dark. The only light I had was the light from the TV playing the ABC News.
And the refrigerator.
And the light coming off my computer while I'm trying to check email on a slow dial-up, shoving last night's pizza into my face.
Well, we have to, you know what? It's like we have to keep an average amount of health between us.
I'm eating and drinking for two now.
That's right, and I appreciate it. That's a service that you provide. So. Yeah. So is that a yes on selfie stick?
Yeah, I'm fine with getting what's it called? It's called a didgeripop.
A bingy bongaboo.
I'm happy getting a didgeripop, yes.
Okay, good. If we see one, I'm going to get one. But okay. But the other thing I was going to say, I've already kind of said it, but I got to figure out what I'm going to order because this was the most like civilized bar that we're going in, I think. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Maybe tonight we're going to be
in. No, I think Port Augusta is a bigger town. I think that's going to be a little bit more.
Okay, so Port Augusta will be fine, but like, I mean, honestly, when we get out into Tennant Creek and certainly Larima, I need to figure out a way. I need to just maybe is water, no ice. I mean, what do I order? Because I don't think it doesn't seem like a big non-alcoholic beer culture, at least based on my one experience. The guy definitely he wasn't rude, but he didn't. It wasn't like it didn't seem like that was an order that like most people don't go in there and ask, do you have anything non-alcoholic?
It didn't. One interesting moment was when, because how at one point you got a soda water with bitters, and
which does have alcohol in it. So I don't know if that means. I think people that are like really hardcore about their sobriety, like that would be considered, basically a slip up. I don't know. I've been having that the whole time. I've been not drinking and.
And it wasn't even like you were kind of like, oh, I'm going to have a bunch of these. You literally had one. I don't think you finished it. Like, you just carried it around the night. But I wanted to say, though, so one interesting thing is here is you pay as you go, at least at this particular pub. And I'm wondering if that's going to maybe be the same thing that we come up with. You don't just like give them your card and say leave it open.
Right.
They just want you to pay for every single round. And that's fine, except part of me is also wondering, is the bank going to think my card has been stolen? Because it's just like, you know, I was buying beers and it's like – charged, what was it, like $6 US. But then you just ordered a soda and bitters, which must be almost nothing, right?
It was like $5.
Right, but you would think that it would be nothing. And so you're kind of like, should I pay for that now, too? And the woman, she was a very nice young woman, but she said, you should probably pay me. Like, why would I break the rules for you? And I think you were sort of thinking, because it's club soda, basically.
Yeah, well, like, also, when you were using the restroom, I checked in on the tipping thing because I said, am I allowed to tip you? And she goes, well, you're allowed. She goes, it's just not like the U.S. where
it's – Oh, you did bring that up.
I asked her.
Oh, good, because I felt so bad not tipping.
I was like – she goes, no. She goes, we get paid different.
Uh-huh.
She was like, certainly, you know, you're allowed to tip us, but we don't expect tips. It's just not that thing. She was like, we get paid you know, we get paid to work here. It's not a tip based thing.
So you did end up tipping her, I bet.
No, I was like, screw you.
No,
I did.
Of course you did. And then I saw you tip the pizza girl, and she was shocked.
She
said,
genuine.
Wait, are you sure? And you gave her like what, $1, $2?
$2.
Yeah.
Maybe $1.80
yeah.
or something. Australian.
Right, yeah.
Which is
yeah.
like $1.20 US.
She was like, are you sure? She was also very, very young.
I know.
I think it was literally the first time she'd gotten tipped in her life. She almost looked like
didn't know what to do with
it.
You know what I've noticed though? I went across the street to get coffee before we did this. I'm extrapolating, or I'm making a lot of assumptions based on being in Australia for 12 hours so far. But the coffee shop, they don't have anywhere for tips, right? It's just not
is
that
this the one. Did you go to the one in the BP gas
nope,
station?
Across the street, there's a bakery and coffee shop.
Oh, that's nice. I should have gone there. I got my coffee at the BP barista.
They have a lot of like places you can put your change for charity.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Like, you know, to help kids, and there's a medical service here. And a bunch of things like that. So they have all that on the counter. There's nothing that I saw in there involving dropping money in for the person making the coffee. So, again, this is based on one experience. But the sense I got was maybe they're culturally it's like let's try to help out folks that need help. And we'll make the coffee. We'll get paid to make the coffee. We didn't expect you to give us money in addition to what the coffee costs.
Well, you know what? There might just be more of a charitable, like kind of like I would almost say like kind of a casual, like meaning smaller level donation charity thing going on here. Because I noticed on the airline when we were landing,
UNICEF?
They offered UNICEF bags if anybody wanted to donate to UNICEF. There have been several places I've been. I feel like on TV, I do want to talk about Australian TV, my first reaction to it briefly too. I feel like there's a lot more PSAs running for, you know, Aboriginal peoples and various, you know, kinds of things. By the way, speaking of the local TV here, one thing that I noticed is this morning I didn't catch her name, but I think I might have in the wee hours with my jet lag brain maybe have developed a crush on the ABC presenter here.
Okay.
There's probably a lot of them, though.
You've got to be more specific.
I know, but she's my girl.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever her name is. Jake and the Fat Man apparently is pretty big in Australia still. You and I both caught that on TV.
I believe it was a clip show. It was so weird. It was just like a bunch of – it was Jake and the Fat Man, but it was a bunch of unrelated – what I saw was a bunch of unrelated clips from Jake and the Fat Man all kind of cut together without a big explanation, but yeah.
Well, that's the thing about Jake and the Fat Man. It's all hits. Just play the hits.
Absolutely.
Like,
you can't go wrong. It's like this show.
You don't need any context for it. A lot of Australian rules football, which I really earnestly tried to understand. I watched some of it. It seems – it just is – it's like looking at – another language that uses different characters. Like, you just don't understand how could this make sense. And you know intellectually that if somebody taught it to you, eventually – you would just get it. It would be second nature in the same way. I used to look at football at some point in my life and had no idea what was going on. But Australian rules football looks like, from my perspective, I'm not trying to make fun of the sport. I'm just saying, like, looking at it from my perspective, it looks like something somebody would make up in a movie about sports. Like, yeah, this is a sport. People run around and they grab things and they pull you down and then you keep on running with it. And then sometimes you just kick it randomly. Like, it looks like chaos.
Yeah, I was saying last night that what for me – it doesn't have, but that's, again, just because of my not understanding the sport. It doesn't seem like it has that kind of magical binary moment that American football has, which is – now, I guess you could say when they kick it through – I don't even know what it's called. When they kick the ball through, I'm going to call it the upright because that's what we call it in the States. When the ball sails through the upright, you know, something has happened. Mm-hmm. So that is binary. But there's so much in football where it's like the guy catches it or doesn't catch it. He's inbounds or he's out of bounds. There's so much instant replay. There's so much like supermo. There's just so much of that stuff. And I'm watching Australian rules football. I didn't see a lot of that. It's like I don't quite know like when the guy's actually been stopped because it's not a question of if his knee is down. He just kind of like people surround him and they kind of are like holding on to him. And then he just like everybody just knows to stop.
And then sometimes you'll hear the ref scream, play on, play on. That's player. Sometimes they yell, play on, player.
Yeah, exactly. You're crazy for this one.
Right, yeah. You know what? I was watching MTV.
Oh, Yo MTV Raps. They just got Yo MTV Raps here.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess those are all my thoughts on Australian TV so far.
Well, my friend, I think we've seen it all and done it all here in beautiful Kingston. It's time for us to point the Hyundai Santa Fe. For the record, that's the whip we got. Talking about my whip, we got a Hyundai Santa Fe from the rental car place, and we're going to head for, what is it called, Port
Augusta. That's our next stop on the agenda.
But what we need to do first is call our friend, the one, the only Kiki Lolo, who once again for this trip,
Kiki, do you love me?
Is going to advise us on what to look for and do in our next location. She's done this for, I think it's the last two thons or just last year?
I think just last year, maybe with the hitchhiking adventure. So I'm going to use this WhatsApp app to see if I can connect with her. We had mixed results earlier, but I think...
WhatsApp, Doc. That's not the accent. You'll know if I'm doing the accent.
Let's see if I can get this to work. This may or may not be a success.
Okay. This is an intercontinental call on WhatsApp to our friend Kiki Lolo.
Hello.
Kiki. Can you hear me? Thank you for laughing at that. I know you're only laughing at that because it's your job. I'm so sorry.
No. I think it was funny. It was cute. You were a little adorable.
He went for it. Christina, before we dialed you up on the line, I was playing your sound effect, which you can't hear because we're just calling you on speakerphone, but I was playing your Kiki Do You Love Me sound effect. It was bouncing around in Andrew's brain, and I do appreciate that he went for it. That's a reach for him, a stretch. Christina Lopez, thank you so much for helping us out again this year. Have you been able to find out any important information about the next place we're going called Port Augusta, Australia?
I have. I looked up some stuff on Wikipedia, and I verified the stuff, so it wasn't just
nice.
A Wikipedia source, I promise.
Perfect.
So its original Aboriginal name, which I'm not going to try to pronounce because I'm not going to disrespect the Aboriginal people.
That's our job.
Yeah. So the Aboriginal name for this place means place of drifting sand.
Ooh.
So the port was named after Augusta Sophia, who was the wife of the governor of South Australia, and his name was Sir Henry Edward Fox Young.
Nice. Hey, I don't know if you found this in your research, Christina, but I was doing a little just reading about Australia this morning, and I guess Southern Australia, where we are, there were never any criminals that lived down here. Like this got formed, I guess, either by free folk. Now I'm getting my Game of Thrones mixed in there, but like Southern Australia was independent, or it was independent, and it was never a place they were sending people from like England who had been convicted of, by the way, surprisingly petty crimes, were people being shipped here. It was amazing.
Wow. Yeah, I know that the guy who founded Port Augusta, his brother was responsible for bringing camels to Australia. That's what I found out.
Oh, hell yeah. Are there still any camels living there?
I was not able to verify that. I tried to do a quick Google, but that was about as far as I'll go for a Sunday.
Oh, that's fair. Oh, by the way, yeah, thanks for doing this on a Sunday. We keep forgetting it's a different time where you are in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right. You're calling me from the future.
That's right. Yeah.
It's crazy here. There's so much stuff that you're going to find out about in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
Do you know the lottery numbers that are going to come out in the Powerball?
Oh, yes, we do. And actually, you know what? That is a big part of this year's TBTL-a-thon is a lotto scam that we're doing. So we're going to take the listeners' donations. We're going to send those back to you, Christina, and then we're going to feed you the numbers of the Powerball. So I think we're going to be on easy street going forward, just financially as a show.
And Luke has found this sports betting book that he's very, very excited about.
That should end well, as we know from Back to the Future 2. Anything else about Port Augusta that we should know?
Yeah, there's one place you might want to check out, the Wadlata Outback Center, and that has the Tunnel of Time, which starts by you climbing into the jaws of a gigantic serpent named Max, who's a prehistoric ripper lizard, and you get transported back to the creation of the Outback.
What?
Yes, we are doing that 100%. Is that who runs that? What is the place called again?
It's called the Wadlata Outback Center.
Okay.
I want to do that. So this is Max the Serpent. We've met Larry the Lobster, and now this is Max the Serpent?
Yes, he's a ripper lizard. Ooh. I don't know what that is, but that's what he is.
That sounds highly Australian.
I know. I'm not going to try the accent, though.
Right. But ripper lizard just seems like everything just seems tougher down here. And like, oh, like, you guys have lizards. We have ripper lizards.
I don't know if I should say this or not, if it kind of, like, you know, tamps down on the excitement of the trip for the listeners. But, you know, I had some pretty high snake anxiety going into this trip. But the woman at the Hertz rent-a-counter, the car rental place, said that our risk of a snake bite is lower because it's nap time for the snakes. The cold weather has put a lot of them to sleep. The chance
but
of
the
me
thing
dying
is,
by
but
snake bite
when the
is
snakes
lesser.
Are gone, that's when the ripper lizards really, really kick it into high gear.
Right, right.
Anything else you want to tell us before we turn you loose to go back to enjoying your Sunday?
No, I don't think I have anything else to tell you. That was pretty much the bulk. I mean, there's a Port Augusta train park if one of you is into trains. But that's pretty much all I saw that was around there.
I have a little update for both you guys. Again, watching a lot of news this morning. I woke up super early, Christina, because of the time difference. And I was watching a lot of, I believe it was national news. But the very first autonomous, that is to say driverless train, is running today for the first time during like kind of on a commuter day. They tested it yesterday, Sunday. And now that it's Monday, apparently there are trains. I think it might be in Sydney. Maybe Melbourne, where there are trains driving without conductors today.
Wow. There's a little Australian news you can use.
Yeah, I guess so. Or not use. All right. Thanks, Kiki.
Thanks for having me, and let me know how the robot uprising goes.
Okay.
Okay, bye. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I love having, like, I think Christina was the one who said this, and we were emailing about this before, that she was going to be the penny to our inspector's gadget. I love the idea. We just have, like, we have somebody in Australia who has, or sorry, somebody in Los Angeles who has semi-reliable internet access, who's just going to, like, kind of, like, look down the road and see what we need to really make sure we check out on our little adventures.
Yeah, one other thing that I will say that I learned today, and maybe I already mentioned this, is, you know, these storms that we've been talking about that are hitting where we are now, which is the very southern part of Australia, they are only hitting the southern part of Australia, so the weather should be getting warmer and hotter as we head up towards Darwin. I heard it's beautiful in Darwin today.
Yeah, I mean, I think even though it's becoming winter here in Australia, I think Darwin is still perpetually pretty warm, because I have to imagine it's sort of why am I doing this? I think it's got to be nearish to the equator, right? If you just think about the geography of the whole thing, stuff that's on the equator, kind of it never gets that cold, because that's the kind of bulge in the earth that's always. I do a little bit of amateur cosmology on the side. That's the bump in the earth that's always pointing kind of near the sun, right?
Don't bring phrenetics into this. Is that what you call it? No, phrenology.
Yeah, the study
is
of lumps
for.
In the head. Sure.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, Andrew, I think we should wrap things up here because we need to get going towards Port Augusta. We need to get going towards the Ripper Lizard, Max.
Yes.
The Ripper Lizard. As we are, as we're finishing things up today, I just want to remind you again, I know you just heard us say this like 40 minutes ago, but it is the TBTL-a-thon this week, TBTL-a-thon 10. From the Lobster to Larima. And maybe you are donating and you've been donating and you're like just feeling, you know, you're just feeling especially positive towards TBTL and you want to maybe throw a little more candy on your donation. RIP to our friend Jason Newman. Maybe you could do that too at TBTL.net. If you've been cruising along in the $10 range and you want to go to the $12 a month range, that would be rad too.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have lots of cool thank you gifts. Each one of these thank you gifts was carefully and methodically designed by an artist who our friend and colleague Emily reached out to. And then we went back and forth, all of us, on the kind of just like what the t-shirt was going to look like, what the bobbleheads were going to look like, what the pins were going to look like. So we're really proud of all of this stuff because none of it was just like, none of this is it's all custom, I guess you would say. It's all stuff that we actually went out and had designed for the TBTL-a-thon.
Yeah, and we're legitimately excited about it. And you know what? And if nothing else, do it. Prove them wrong. Prove the haters wrong. You know, before we left on this trip and started this TBTL-a-thon, and I think it's okay for me to say this, you know, Nora McInerney, she said we couldn't do it.
Sure.
John Moe over at APM, he said, oh, no, time's up on these two.
Yeah.
Not in the time's up. I just mean in the... This is going really well. Molly Bloom over at Brains On, you know, she's one of the biggest haters, saying, these guys...
Absolutely.
End of the road for these guys at APM.
Yeah,
prove
she was like,
these haters
she was
wrong.
Like, and let me tell you, let me just demonstrate, how lousy these guys are. I'm going to make Andrew play an armpit bacteria
on
my show Brains On. And Luke, a salesperson for stinky shoes.
That's right.
I mean, if that's not a shot across the bow, I don't know what is. So, yeah, you know, it's us against the world of people who are allegedly – for Game of Thrones is over. This is the new game of intrigue.
That's right.
Which members of the APM family are plotting and sending messages through birds to destroy us, to bring us down. Don't let the Joffreys win. Joffrey's my nickname for John Moe. Don't let the Joffreys win, okay?
The Joffreys. That's not the accent you'll hear.
No, you'll know it when the accent's happening. You will definitely know it. That's the 7 cups of coffee that I've had. So yeah, please go to tbtl.net. Help us keep doing this. If this is important in your life, if this is something that you listen to every day or 5 days a week, and it's kind of like a little dose of your radio pals in your ears, and it makes you feel a sense of community, and all of that. If that's how this show is working for you, then please help us keep doing it by going to tbtl.net. We talked on the show the other day, Andrew, about I guess we were talking about Ben Lee and Ben Folds, because we played a Ben Folds song called Adelaide, and then we were talking about Ben Lee.
I had played a Ben Lee song in the same show.
He's Australian, mm-hmm. and he did, the theme song that opens our show, Catch My Disease. We've had Ben Lee on the show. I mentioned Ione Sky. His wife was on Arrested Development. And then, of course, we forgot that she's also Donovan's daughter.
Mm-hmm, the daughter of Donovan. And a lot of people almost upset with us that we didn't mention that.
Well, because you're such a, Donovan head, or at least we've talked about your love of Donovan mm-hmm. a lot on the show, that the fact that that little connection, we forgot about that, was the listeners were incensed. Hopefully they've calmed down and they're now mm-hmm. re-donating.
Mm-hmm.
They've retracted their emails asking to stop their donation, and they're now again supporting TBTL because we've corrected the record.
What if we promise to use some of the funds from this year's TBTL-a-thon for me to get some sort of a surgery on my brain grapes that will help me mm-hmm. recall information?
I want to see, because you know when they do those procedures, you're conscious. And they press
really?
On different parts of your brain because you can't feel it. You don't have any nerves in your brain. It doesn't hurt. I mean, taking your skull off hurts. I think that they anesthetize that part of it. But then they probe your brain. And I would just love to see them go around mm-hmm. and be like, okay, which Mariner pitcher got traded last year? And you're just like, and then they just poke this one part and you're like, James Paxton.
Right. Exactly. Edwin Diaz, name we couldn't think of in the airport the other day.
Sure.
What if they just push one part of my brain and then suddenly it's just like it's a backlog of everything that I've forgotten since I've been doing TBTL. It all just comes blurting out all at once.
That would be really something to behold. And that's why I want to be there for the procedure.
Okay.
If you want to help Andrew get this very necessary procedure, please go to tbtl.net and donate. The other thing, though, was I guess we must have asked at some point if they knew each other, Ben Folds and Ben Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And listener Nigel in Kenmore jumped on the Slack channel. Again, I am just for the first time really starting to kind of interface with the TBTL Slack channel. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It is really fun, and there is a lot going on over there. There are tons and tons of channels within the TBTL Slack channel. Again, we're all going to be posting our little kind of physical activities that we're doing this week as part of the Eagle Store. So I can't recommend it highly enough. Nigel said, by the way, Ben Folds and Ben Lee, they know each other. They actually put an album together along with Ben Queller. I love Ben Queller.
What do I know Ben Queller from?
He does, well, famously.
Let me get the operation.
Hold on. I'm just going to jam this pen
into
your brain.
Oh, Queller! Yeah. Love that guy.
Wasted and Ready, Ben Queller. They had an act. Ben Folds, Ben Lee, and Ben Queller did a thing together called The Bens. And Nigel included on the Slack channel a video. He said, here's a video of them performing in Australia. By the way, this is just like even more information than you may want or need. But in 2003, the Bens performed in Adelaide, which was before Ben Folds released that song, Adelaide. And so maybe that was where he got the inspiration. Anyway, I actually really like this song that listener Nigel sent a link to. It's called Just Pretend, and it's from Ben Folds, Ben Lee, and Ben Queller. I know we've been playing a lot of Ben Folds on the show of late. So, you know, after this, no one named Ben can do music on the show. Sorry, Gibbard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Even if he comes on live again?
Nope. We've used up all of our Bens.
Wait, are you sure you want to play this song then? Because I'd like to have Ben Gibbard back on the show.
This is how much I like this song.
Okay, all right.
Actually, you know what? I really do like this song. And this is a live version, so I don't know.
From Australia, right?
From Australia, so it seems very appropriate.
Calling the show The Shame of Ownership?
Yes.
What did you you wrote down one something over there too?
I wrote down nerdy, dirty, and flirty.
which best represents what we're doing on this trip here? Do you think?
I mean, the only downside to the Shame of Ownership is we always crap on the show, and sometimes listeners don't like it when we do that.
What if we still call it like TB Telethon 10 : nerdy, dirty, and flirty?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. All right. So we're going to go out with this song from the Bends. Thank you so much, Nigel, for suggesting it. And thank you, everybody, for being a part of TBTL, for listening to the show, for telling your friends about it, for donating during this year's TBTL-a-thon. Please help us do this for another 2,909 episodes. So anyway, take a listen to this. We will check in, hopefully, from Port Augusta tomorrow. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Well, I helped you with our undries. Happy years passed by. It's okay to cry. After all, in the end, just pretend. Well, it's sticks and stones and broken homes that taught us how to smile. After all, in the end, just pretend. There's a name that plays in my head all day long like a song. She's with me every day. After all, in the end, just pretend. Everyone needs.
Power out.